And while holding on, you'd Gimel Amud Beis, about two-thirds of the way down the Amud, the line begins Umu Beres. We discussed the opinion, we discussed the Machlokas Rav Gamliel and Rav Yeshua, where we have a woman who was in a, we had two Machlokas, in one where she was in Yichud with a man, and we ask her who the man is, and she says he was a kosher, do we believe her or not? And another one where she, where she's actually pregnant, meaning that obviously there was Bia, and again, we ask her who the father is, and she says that it's kosher. Do we believe her or not? We went through a machlokas about between Ze'iri and Rav Asi about that. Is there even something? Is there even a problem if there was only Yichud? Rav Asi had said no. Only if only the only problem is if Nivala. But then we shlugged up Rav Asi and said that no. We see that Rabbi Eliezer. We see that Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer together with him and Rabbi versus Rabbi Yeshua argue whether we believe her or not. So the Gemara says, typically, why don't we have a different reason to say that to say otherwise? The Hossam Rov Psul and Etzla, Bahacha Rov Ksher and Etzla. Isn't there a difference? Now, in the discussion, we went through a discussion between Rabbi Yeshua and the other Chachamim, where he pointed out that a Shavuya, a woman, a Jewish woman, was taken captive by Goyim. We say that there's a high possibility that she was raped by one of them, and therefore that she's going to be possible to a Kohen. So Rabbi Yeshua says, by the same logic, shouldn't we say the same thing over here? And we mentioned the fact that most Goyim are prutzim barayis, most of them are promiscuous, and Rabbi Yeshua said, yeah, but here she was in Yichud with the guy, then also ain apotropos larayis, there's no watchman when it comes to arayis, so there's a good chance that there was Bia. Anyway, so but typically, so why don't we have a different reason? In the case of a shvur, most of the men who would be around her, who could potentially have been the ones to have relations with her, are psolim, they're goyim. So they would passel her for kohuna. Whereas when she was in yichud with somebody, then most of the people there are ksherim. So then there's more of a reason to believe her. Now, according to Rashi, the question is, why does Rabbi Yeshua compare the two cases if there's such an obvious difference between them? On the other hand, the Rosh points out, in Tosfos Rosh, that's not the usual meaning of v'tipukle. When the Gemara usually brings the words, the expression, it usually means using this in a certain use a way, you could have just as well used a better way, an easier way to arrive at the same conclusion. Over here, Rashi is understanding that the question is, how could Rabbi Yeshua compare the two cases and say she's possible when we could instead point out this difference and say that she's kosher? So that's not the same thing at all. So Tosfos HaRosh learns the question on Rav Gamliel. Why does Rav Gamliel have to point out the first Ovdik of Maprutzim, as opposed to when she's in Yichud with a Jewish man, then most Jewish men are Ksherim? Why don't we say easily that Rav Gamliel could say the difference by a Shavuya, most of them, and here, and then by and where she was in Yichud with somebody, then most of them are Ksherim. Anyway, so the Gemara answers, the fact that we don't make that, and the fact that Rabbi Yeshua doesn't make that distinction, or the fact that Rav Gamliel doesn't make that distinction, supports what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says. The opinion that says that she's kosher, and he says whether she was only mederes, whether she was beres, she's actually pregnant, showing that there was actual bia. Either way, l'divrei hamachshir, according to Rav Gamliel, who says that she's kosher, machshir afilu b'roiv psulin, he would say she's kosher even if most of the people there are psulin, because she's claiming that it's a kosher and we believe her. L'divrei hapoisel, meanwhile, according to Rabbi Yeshua, who says that she's posel, poisel afilu b'roiv kshirim, he's going to say that she's possible, even if most of, that she's possible, and then, as we said before, the baby is possible as well, even if most of them are kshedim. In fact, the Shittur Mukha Betta says we see that Rabbi Yeshua says that because in the Mishnah, he says the expression that she always has a chazaka of being possible unless she brings a proof, meaning the only way is going to be to bring a proof. She can't just say, well, it's roiv kshedim, and that's good enough. Okay, so now the Gemara continues. According to Rav Gamliel, who says that she herself is kosher, we assume that the man that she was with is in fact somebody who's kosher, then machsher bebita. Then he would say that not only she's kosher, but her daughter is, or if she has a daughter, that daughter is also going to be kosher to marry a kohen. We're not going to assume that maybe the father is a mamzer or nosin or what have you, and the daughter would be a chalala and possible a kohona. So that's all the divrei ha-posel b'bita, and Rabbi Yeshua, who says that she herself is posel, would say that her daughter is also posel. That's according to Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of the machlokes. But Rabbi Lazar Omer ledivrei ha-machshava posel b'bita. Rabbi Lazar disagrees and says that no, even Rabbi Gamliel, who says that she's kosher, would say that the daughter is posel. So, Omer Rabba, my time in the Rabbi Lazar. So, Rabba says, let's consider, why does Rabbi Lazar say that Rabbi Gamliel, who says that she herself is kosher, why would he say her daughter is posel? Bishlema ihi. Well, the reason is Bishlema ihi isla chazaka de kashrus. The obvious reason is because the woman herself, who has a chazaka of kashrus, because after all, at one point in her life, she was kosher to marry a kohen. The question is only now, when she had relations, is she still kosher to marry a kohen or not? Bita lesla chazaka de kashrus, whereas her daughter has no such chazaka, so therefore, because right away she's born, we have a suffix, so therefore that's why Rabbi Lazar would understand that the chazaka for the mother doesn't necessarily help for the daughter. Meanwhile, Rabbi Yechanan would say, look, if it's good enough for the mother, and we say that the mother is kosher, then we can just as well assume that the daughter is kosher as well. It works together. So the Gemara says, "Eisvei Rabbi Lazar l'Rabbi Yechanan." So Rabbi Lazar says to Rabbi Yechanan, "I have a contradiction against your opinion. Again, you who are saying that Rabbi Gamliel would say that both she and her daughter are kosher, but the Braisa that we had earlier on the Amud said, 'Bamed v'nam amurim.' When do we say that Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua argue? The Eidos Isha b'Gufa, regarding the Eidos of the woman regarding herself, Abel Eidos Isha b'Bita. But when you come to the Eidos of a woman regarding her daughter, Divrei Hakol Avlad Shesuki. Then we said before in the Braisa that everybody would agree that a child is a Shesuki. Now, typically, a Shesuki means a child where we know who the mother is, but we don't know who the father is, and there's always the possibility that the father might be a posel. And we call him a Shesuki because when such a child asks, who's my father, if he says to somebody, you're my father, then his mother will tell him, he's not your father, or we don't know that he's your father. So therefore we call him Shesuki, which means quiet. So, my love, Shesuki apostle. Now, on the face of it, a Shesuki means somebody who's posel. Usually a Shesuki is always a suffix mamzer, and therefore, and they're posel to marry a kohen. For that matter, in the Gemara in Kedushin discusses, who can they marry, actually, given that they're a suffix mamzer, can they marry, on the face of it, they can't marry a mamzer because they might be a kosher. They can't marry a kosher because they might be a mamzer. So in Kedushin, it discusses the details of who a shesuki can marry. But the point is, a shesuki usually means somebody who is posel, or at least suffix posel. So in that case, that would show that Rabbi Gamliel says that the baby is a shesuki, is posel, or at least suffix posel. And the Gemara says, not necessarily shesuki of a kosher. It could mean a shesuki who's kosher, which means, in other words, Marashal says, actually, then it would come out when we say divrei hakol avlad shesuki, we would say actually that it means that they both agree the child bears the name shesuki, but Rabbi Yeshua would say it's the kind of shesuki who's posel, and Rabbi Gamliel would say it's the kind of shesuki who's kosher. The Marashal says, me ik shesuki kosher, since when is there such a thing as a shesuki who's kosher? A shesuki, we said before, it means that you don't know who the father is, and there's always the possibility that the father was a nosin or mamzer or what have you. I think one answer is saying, as a matter of fact, yes, the Chiddush Shmuel, we have an example of a shesuki kosher, like an expression that Shmuel said, which we learned in Yevamos. Yomar Shmuel, asara koyanim oimnim. Shmuel says, if you have 10 koyanim standing in a place, or pirish echan man with baal, and one of them went and had relations with a woman, with a penuya, so we know for sure that now when she becomes pregnant and has a baby, we know for sure that the father is one of these 10 koyanim. Nevertheless, the child is considered a shesuki, even though obviously he's kosher for yuchsin, because that his father was kosher, but we still say that he, in a certain sense, he's a shesuki. Well, what kind of sense? In what kind of sense are we saying he's a shesuki? So the Gemara says, my shesuki. Well, in what sense? Do you mean a shesuki insofar as that we quiet him when he tries to claim a portion of his father's property, of his father's estate, then we say he can't. If that's all Shmuel is selling us, pshita, then of course not. Of course it's poshut. Of course he can't get umi adina avu amanu. After all, do we know who his father is? Any estate that he wants to take a portion of, they would tell him hamotzimachavelu. Bring proof that you're his son and you can collect from this estate. And for that matter, Maram Shif points out that then Shmuel would have no reason to mention 10 koyanim specifically. The same thing would apply if it was 10 Yisraelim. What Shmuel means, Shmashtikin Oisim Edin Kohona, means he is kosher. Certainly he can't marry a mamzera, certainly he can marry a Bas Yisrael. But he's a suki in the sense we quiet him from the din of kohuna, meaning he's never allowed to serve in the Bas Mikdash or eat truma. As it says in the pasuk in this week's parasha, that it should be the kohuna should be for him and for his descendants after him, bris kohunas olam, a covenant of kohuna forever, implying what's the words lazare achrav, misha zare miyuchas achrav. It means any only a kohen whose children have yichus after him, meaning that we know who the father is. He's the one who has the bris of kohuna. But over here, we don't know who the father is. We know that it's a Kohen, because we know it had to be one of 10, but we don't know which one. And therefore, Shmuel is saying that we don't allow him to serve as a Kohen. We learned in Yevamos, actually, and Tosfos mentions it over here, that it's really actually only, that it's really only actually Dirabbanan. We use this pasuk as an asmachta. The actual din, the actual, because we learned in Yevamos actually that there was a case, we had a case over there of a suffix involving Nisuin. We had a case over there of a suffix involving where he was where the woman was remarried within 3 months after the death of her first husband, or after her first husband divorced her. And there we said we don't consider him a shesuki for this din, because since the whole thing is dirabbanan, then the chachamim can determine when we apply it and when we don't. But the point is. So therefore, in that sense, we're saying there can be a child who's called a shesuki, but not a classical shesuki where we don't know whether he's a mamzer or not, and then you have a question who he can marry. Here we know this child is kosher, we just don't allow him to serve as a kohen. So now, returning to our case over here, then, when the Braisa says that both Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel agree that the child is a shesuki, even though the mother says, I've had relations with a kosher, then we can say that according to Rabbi Yeshua, as Marsha says, according to Rabbi Yeshua, it means a shesuki posel. It means a regular kind of shesuki, so it's a suffix mamzer or not, because we don't necessarily believe her to say that the father is kosher. And meanwhile, according to Rabbi Gamliel, it would be a shesuki kosher of the kind that Shmuel was talking about, namely that the child is definitely kosher because we can believe the mother to say that the man she was with is a kosher, and therefore that the child is not going to be a mamzer, it's not going to be a suffix mamzer or whatever. But nevertheless, because we don't know 100% for sure, then therefore we can't allow that child to function as a kohen. Okay, so the Gemara says another case that bears on this machlokas of Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua. How who orus varus sosai the also kamed Rabbi Yosef. There was an orus and arusa, so a couple that had done erusin, they hadn't yet done nisuin, they're not supposed to be having relations yet. They came before Rabbi Yosef. And the woman was already pregnant. He omramine, so she's saying the baby is from him, from her arus, and therefore, if it was from somebody else, it's after the kedusha, but the child would be a mamzer. But she is claiming that it's from him. And he also says, yes, indeed, it is from me. So they're both agreeing that it's from him. They're both saying it's not from anybody else. So Rashi and various other Rishonim learn that we're talking about the Orus says for sure, I know 100% for sure that it's from him. Let's say, for example, they were together the whole time. There's a Tosfos over here at the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Beis that talks about some possibilities over here that says that maybe one thing we're talking about over here is maybe he's saying he doesn't know 100% for sure, but he's saying, look, I'm admitting I did wrong. I had relations with her during the time of the Erusin, even though I know I wasn't supposed to. And therefore, so he's claiming that in that case, the child has a very high likelihood of being from him. We usually say that if a woman has a child, we usually assume that it comes from the husband unless we have strong reason to suspect otherwise. Tosfos also discusses in this connection a Gemara in Kiddushin that bears on this, and then you have a Machloikas Rav and Shmuel over there, which is kind of the opposite of over here. So again, Tosfos does bring up a point that we learned in Yevamos actually that if you have the fact that she was promiscuous with her orus, which she wasn't supposed to be because they're also to each other until the actual nisuin, there's a possibility that maybe she was masking herself to others as well. But over here again, we're talking about that he's not saying that here he's saying that he actually did have relations with her. So we have a possibility of saying that it really is from him, but we don't know 100% for sure. Anyway, So Rabbi Yosef says, okay, what's the problem? She should be believed. They should. There shouldn't be a problem. The child ought to be considered kosher. Number one, because the Oros himself is moide, that and says that he agrees that it's from him. So Tosfos also refers back to that Gemara in Yevamos that where we had a discussion over there of whether Daima Me'alma, is there suspicion that maybe she's been with other people as well? Are there rumors going around that she's been with other people as well? So so you have two different Lashonis over there, one that maybe we are talking about, that Loi Daima Me'alma, there's no suspicion of her having been with anybody else, and even if Daima Me'alma, but here he is after all saying the case over there is that he didn't say one way or the other, he was clearly saying that he was with her. So therefore, that's a very strong reason to believe, and even according to Rabbi Yeshua, says Tosfos. So that's number one. But Oid, Ha'amar Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel Halacha K'Rabban Gamliel. Besides which, anyway, Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, the Halacha is like Rabban Gamliel of our Mishnah, that we believe her to save the kosher nivalti. Well, here also she's saying that she had relations with a kosher. In this case, the only kosher is her orus, unlike in the case of our Mishnah, where there are many cherim out there. But the point is over here, she's saying that it was the one kosher one, namely her orus. So that's another good reason it should be good enough. Tosfos adds, by the way, that if the orus were to deny, if he were to say, no, I didn't have relations, then we're gonna learn later on towards the end of the parak that no, when you have body versus body, when you have a certain claim versus another certain claim, then we don't say that Rav Gamliel would believe her. So if it was she said body that it was with him and that I was with him, and he says body I was not with her, then Rav Gamliel wouldn't believe her. We're talking about over here, but we're saying over here that we're not talking about that we're not saying if he were to deny her, but we're saying over here he is agreeing with her, and if he hadn't said anything one way or the other, or if he said I'm not sure, then Ramiel would still believe her. So that's another reason. Amalei Abaya, but Abaya says to Rabbi Yosef, let's analyze your understanding of Rabbi Gamliel's opinion. Are you telling me that in a case like this, suppose the Orus was not Moida? So not like Tosfos says, let's say not he's denying it, but let's say he didn't say one way or the other. He doesn't want to say whether he had actually had relations with her or not. If the Orus was not Moida and said that I was with her, would Rabbi Gamliel say that she's kosher? Didn't Rabbi Shmuel say to Rabbi Yehuda, Shinina, sharp one, which is Shmuel's famous pet name for Rabbi Yehuda? Halacha k'Rav Gamliel, it's true that halacha is like Rav Gamliel, that we believe her in cases like our Mishnah, but nevertheless, but you shouldn't ask in that way in practice and say that she is kosher unless most of the men that she could have been, that were around, that she could conceivably have had relations with, then they have to be mostly kosher. But if it's Rav Psulim, then we have a suffix, and then we'd say she's possible, a suffix. Well, the fact of the matter is most men in the world over here are possible to her, because given that she's an Arusa, there's only one man who is kosher to her. Even he is supposed to be off limits until the Nisuin, but nevertheless, but any other man certainly would be, she's an Eshes Ish at that point, and any other man would be also to her by an Isur Kodesh, by an Isur Mrs. Basin, actually, and any child from it would be a Mamzer. So how can you, Rabbi Yosef, say that you're saying that, first of all, he's moida. Second of all, we're saying the halacha is like Rav Gamliel, meaning even if he hadn't been moida, then that would be reason enough. But does Rav Gamliel himself hold, if you're not moida, if the orus is not moida, that we should say that the child is kosher, or that she's kosher for that matter? Here it's Rav Solonetzla. So Rabbi Yosef answers back, fully taimech, new, and according to your svara, that your understanding that Rabbi Gamliel says that if it's Rav Psulim, then there's a problem, tikshilach higufa, then never mind asking on me, ask on Rabbi Gamliel's own din, or ask on Shmuel's own din. If Shmuel says halacha, if he's saying halacha is like Rav Gamliel, then how can he say, but you shouldn't do that in practice, only b'roiv k'shevim? Why not? If halacha is like Rav Gamliel, and Rav Gamliel holds that you would do that even b'roiv psulin, then why should we have to be machmir and say only if it's b'roiv k'shevim? Ella, my islach lememar. So what would you have to answer? Halachat chila hadiyevin. Obviously, you would have to say that there's a difference between lachat chila and bidiyevin. Lachat chila, we would say that we would passel her if it's roiv psulin around, but bidiyevin, if she's already married to a kohen, then we can allow her to stay married to the kohen. So then, b'hol nami, kidiyevin dummy. In our case of the arus and arusa, it's also considered by diyevin. It's also considered a case of diyevin for a few reasons. Why should it be considered diyevin? So Rashi says, because if you don't believe her, then we're gonna force her to get divorced. So because after all, if she was with anybody else other than her husband, she's gonna be an Ashes Ish with Mazana Berotzen, and therefore we're gonna say that therefore she'd be also to him. So that's one reason why it's Dieved. On the other hand, the fact is the Gemara is saying it's like Dieved. So Rishonim give a couple of reasons behind that. The Ravid says, because after all, she's not fully married over here. She's only an Arusa. The case that we're saying that we would allow her to stay married is where she's already in Nisua, where they've already done Chuppah and Bia and all that, and we'd allow them to stay married. The fact that you're saying over here that Rabbi Yosef is saying let them be allowed to stay married is only like Dieved, because after all, they're only an Arusa and Arusa. And the Ran says another reason, because after all, if we consider the baby a Suffolk Mamzer, then the husband himself is going to say, one second, if he's a Suffolk Mamzer, then there's a Suffolk whether I'm allowed to stay married to her, because by definition, for him to be a Suffolk Mamzer means that there's a Suffolk whether my wife was Mazana Berotzen, and therefore he's going to be, it's called Liboy Noikfar, like his heart is going to be bothering him, and he's going to end up divorcing her, and therefore we can consider that this like a case of Dieved and allow them to stay married and say that we're not going to consider the child a Suffolk Mamzer. Okay. So the Gemara says, Romi le Abaya le Rava. Now, let's go back to Rabbi Yeshua's opinion. We said in our Mishnah that Rabbi Yeshua says that she's claiming that we ask her, we see her in Yichud, or we see her having had relations with somebody, and we ask her, who is this man? Or we ask her, in the case of the baby that she's carrying, Mati Vishal Ozer, what's the story with this baby? Who is the father? And she says it was a kosher. It says Pliny, and he was a kosher. So Rabbi Yeshua said, we don't believe it. So, Romi le Abaya le Rava, or on the side over here, it says le Rabba. So Abaya asks Rava or Rabba a contradiction. Does Rabbi Yeshua really say that we don't believe her to say that the man she was with is a kosher? Or a minu, but have a contradiction from a Mishnah in Adius. The Mishnah says, "Hey, Rabbi Yeshua, v'Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, the same Rabbi Yeshua himself, and as together with Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, gave Adius al almonas Isa regarding an almonas Isa." Almanas Issa literally means an almana, literally means a widow of dough. So it means, in other words, there's some kind of suffix involved. Rashi gives two explanations. First, in the Dibra Maskala al Almanas Issa, for the earlier on the Amud, he says that it means, for example, that the first husband of a woman threw her a get in a way where it's a suffix whether the get was valid or not. Did it land closer to her or closer to him? Then he dies. So now she's a suffix whether she's a grusha or an almona. Now suppose this woman marries a kohen. Well, the child then is going to be a suffix cholol, because if she's an almona, that's fine. She's allowed to marry any kohen except the kohen gadol. If she's a grusha, she's not allowed to marry a kohen. So she was a suffix grusha. Now she marries a kohen. Therefore, the child is a suffix cholol. Now, suppose that child, the suffix cholol, marries a woman and he himself dies. So Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira are saying that widow is allowed to marry a kohen. We don't say maybe her husband was a cholol, and therefore that would make her a cholola, and also to marry a kohen, we don't say that. That's Rashi's first explanation. Further down on the Amud, he brings from Rabbi Yosef Tov Elam, one of the early Rishonim, who explains differently. He says that the husband himself, that the husband of this woman himself, was a svek sveka. Again, what we're talking about is that the woman got divorced with a get that was a suffix. Like we said, we're not sure whether it landed closer to the husband or closer to the wife. Then, within 3 months after that, the possibly ex-husband died. Now she married a kohen within 3 months, and now she had this baby. So first of all, we have a svek sveka. number one, is he a baby? Is he from the first husband? And in that case, he's kosher. Because after all, in that case, it would mean that she became pregnant before he even ever gave her a get, or even if it was after the get, as long as if the husband was a Yisrael, then fine, he's not a chol. And then on the other hand, he might be ben shivel achron, and then he's a suffolk chol because his mother might have been a grusha or not. So you have a svek svek. He might be the son of a kohen, he might not. And if he's a son of a kohen, was his mother a grusha or an amon? So Rashi says this according to the second explanation. That's what we call it Issa, which means a dough. Like you have a whole bunch of different sphakas mixed in over here, like a dough. So those are Rashi's two. Those are Rashi's two explanations. Tosfos doesn't really like either one of those explanations. And then Tosfos says rather that the Issa means the entire family. You have somewhere in the family there's a suffolk. There's one or more suffolk cholol. And we're not sure who in the family it is. So now any woman who's married into that extended family, it's a suffolk, whether her husband is a cholol. And therefore we're saying that, and we're calling her Almanas Issa. Anyway, so whatever it is, so Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Huda ben Roseira are saying about such a widow, that she is kosher to marry a kohen, because we have a suffolk in Rashi's first explanation, we have a suffolk whether she's a grusha or not. In Rashi's second explanation from the Yosef Tov Elam, you have a svek speker. In Tosfos's explanation, you have somebody in the family is a cholol, and we don't know who. So whatever the case, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Huda ben Roseira say that the woman is kosher the kohen. So you see, therefore, that Rabbi Yeshua says that you allow her to have a cheskas kashrus, and you say she can marry a kohen. So why in on Mishnah? So why in on Mishnah would Rabbi Yeshua be saying that we don't believe her to say that she was married to a kohen, that she had relations with a kosher? Amalei, so Rava or Rabba says to Abaye, Hachi Hashta, what kind of a comparison is that? Hosam isha nisis bedekas. The nisus in the case hosam ishan nisus bedekas the nisus in the case when a woman gets married, she checks first that her prospective husband is kosher, and then she gets married. So therefore, she has a cheskas kashrus. So even though there's amanas isa over there, then we're saying over here that there's a strong chance that in fact her husband was kosher, that she checked into it carefully. According to Rashi's shita, the Ritva explains, according to Rashi's shita, in what an Almanas Issa is, there's no bdika. It's a suffix to begin with, where she's not going to be able to find out. But still, we can say that she checks who she's marrying. She's not just marrying any random man. But here we're talking about Znus. In the case of our Mishnah, we're saying that she was in Yichud with the man, and when we think there may have been relations, or she's pregnant outside of marriage, and we're not sure what the situation is. So Hocha Isha Mizana Bedekas Mizana, does she check carefully to only be Mizana with a man who is kosher? No, she's very likely to be equally promiscuous with Psulim. So therefore, that's why Rabbi Shua wouldn't believe her and doesn't give her a cheskas kashrus. Okay, so the Gemara says, Omar Rava. So Rava says, okay, well, within that though, let's continue on that theme that Abaye is talking about from that Mishnah in Adius about the Almanas Issa. What do you think? There's only a contradiction between what Rabbi Yeshua says over here and in that Mishnah and Adius, and now you've reconciled that. What about Rav Gamliel's opinion? Rav Gamliel also seems to be contradicting himself. Da'akatani sefer, because that Mishnah and Adius continues. Omalahen Rav Gamliel. Rav Gamliel says to Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira, Kibalnu Edusem. Okay, we've accepted your Adius. We hear what you're saying, that an Almanas Issa is Kshera. And we certainly believe that you know what you're talking about. Avo man nasa, but what should we do about it? Share gozer Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai shloi lahusha based in alkach. Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai already made a gzera that we should not set up bate dinim to do such things, to say that an almonas isa, that a particular almonas isa should be kosher to marry a kohen. Share kohenim shemim lachem l'rach gavaloi l'karev, because the kohenim are only going to listen to you if you say that this woman is posel and can't marry them, but not lakarev, not to make her mutter, to marry kohenim. So in other words, because the kohenim want to keep high standards, they want to keep their yosef, and they don't want to take any chances of marrying a psula and making their descendants halolim for all time. So we see therefore, Sir Gamil is saying, like Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, okay, that she's also that she's also. So now the question would be, in Rav Gamliel's opinion, how could he say in our Mishnah that we believe? When in that Mishnah, like Kasha, Gamliel over there is that you do like Kasha. There's no contradiction. Also, some body, because it's in our Mishnah, it's our Mishnah in Ksubas. Usually the expression would be Hoch over here, and Hossam would be the Mishnah over there in Adius, but here it's the other way around. Anyway, Hossam in our Mishnah, Bori, she's saying definitely the man I was with is kosher. So therefore, and so that plus she has a cheskes kashrus, then that makes her Gamliel say that we can believe her and she's still allowed to marry a kohen. Hocha, but over here in the Mishnah in Adius by the Amon and Sisa, it's only Shema, but she herself doesn't know whether her husband was kosher according to any of the three opinions that we said before of what Amon and Sisa is. She can't know for sure that her husband is kosher. So therefore, Rav Gamliel would say, that's the distinction that Rav Gamliel would make. Amonas Issa, he would say no good because you have a Shema, but over here in our Mishnah, she has a Tainus body, and therefore that's good enough for us. And then Rabbi Yeshua Nami Lakasha. Meanwhile, within Rabbi Yeshua's opinion, there's also no contradiction, not because Isha Bodekas Venisis, because after all, in the case of an Amon HaSisa, she can't really be Bodek, but the difference is Hossam Chad Sveka. The difference is in our Mishnah, there's only one subject, was the man she was with kosher or possible. So therefore, so one suffix, we have to be Machmir. Shittimoko Betzis adds, actually, even if we don't know for sure that there was Be'ila, if we only, like our Mishnah said, Roman Aberis, we only saw her talking in privacy with him, and we're only suspecting there might have been Be'ila, but okay, still, we said it before, Ein Apoturbas La'arayas, that there's no guardians as far as Arayas, and once there was Yichud, there's a very strong chance that there was Be'ila. So to be sure, we'd say one suffix is not good enough. But when it comes to the Amonasisa, there's two Sveikas. Because after all, first of all, so let's go with Rashi's first explanation her husband's mother is a Suffolk Grusha or not. So you have a Suffolk whether he was a Cholol or not. Now when she married him and now is widowed, it's a suffix whether she's an almana of a cholol or not. So it's a suffix whether she ever became bosel from him. So therefore it's only a svek svek. And according to the other opinions, according to the other explanations in Rashi and according to Tosfos, we'd have other reasons to say that it's a svek svek. According to Rabbi Yosef Tuv Elam's explanation in Rashi, there's a svek svek on her husband himself, because there's a svek svek whether he's the son of a Yisrael or of a Kohen, and then if he's a son of a Kohen, was his mother a grusha or not? And a close besides family, there's a suffix cholol. So therefore, it's a spec fake on everybody in the family, whether they're that cholol. So when there's two spekas, then Rabbi Yeshua is more willing. When there's a spec faker, then Rabbi Yeshua is more willing to be made. Okay. So the Gemara says hilchos. So now the bottom line, we can say like this: Liram Gamliel alim lebari. Now Rav Gamliel, therefore, comes out, holds that a tainus body is very strong when she says definitely the man that I was with is Pliny and he's a kasher. That afilu b'chad sveka. So then, even there's only one suffix, like an armish, a nami machsher. Then he says that also she's kasher because she has a cheskes kashrus as well. The kil le shema. On the other hand, Rav Gamliel considers a tainus shema very weak. That afilu b'svek sveka. Nami posel. Where there's a tainus shema, which he's saying, I don't know for sure if my husband was kosher. Then we say even a svek sveka, like the case of Amonas Issa, we would still say that she's possible. Rabbi Yeshua alim le sveka. On the other hand, according to Rabbi Yeshua, the key thing is not body versus shema. The key thing is there one suffix or a svek sveka? Where there's a suffix, and Rabbi Yeshua considers that very strong, like an arm mishnah, and makes it reason enough to pass over. Dafilu b'bori nami posel. So then, even she claims a tainus body. The fact that we have one suffix, whether that's correct, is reason enough to reject it. The kille svek sveka. Meanwhile, Rabbi Yeshua holds that a svek sveka is more lenient. Dafilu b'shema nami machshu. That he would say even a tainus shema is enough to is enough to be machsher her, because it's only a svek sveka, and therefore, even though she herself is not sure, nevertheless, the fact that the fact that her husband is only the fact that it's a svek sveka, whether she's possible, because a suffolk, whether her husband was a cholol, and a suffolk, whether therefore she was possible, is reason enough to allow her to marry a kohen in the future. Okay. Further about this topic of amonas issa, the Gemara says tonen amonan, ezri amonas issa. What is the definition of amonas issa? Kol she'en b'loy mishum mamzerus, b'loy mishum nisinus. As we're talking about, there's no suffix in the family of mamzerus or nisinus. It's not that we have to be concerned that somebody in the family or that her first husband or that her husband or whatever was a nosin or a mamzer, or that somebody in the family is a nosin or a mamzer. B'loy mishum avdei melochim, and also not that they're a suffix of slaves of kings. Which Rashi explains that the reason why we mentioned davka slaves of kings, because sometimes you have, for example, Shlomo's slaves that eventually became very rich and powerful. You have also, for example, Hurdus, who was also an Eved of the Chashmonaim, and eventually he wiped them all out and became king. Obviously, the same thing would apply to any Eved. What we're saying, this is, we'll say, a rich and well-connected family. If they were originally Avodim, then who would they have been Avodim of? They wouldn't have been Avodim of kings. But we're saying we don't have to worry that they have been. Omer the Meir. So the Meir says, Shamaiti. Now, I heard that the definition, Shua, what was the Eidos that they about Amonas Issa? Tosfos mentions over here that it's a little hard to say that the gear said. Rather, Tosfos brings that the Amonas Issa, but the question is, what is Issa? Where that at the end of Aedius, you have a case over there involving an Issa that whether we say that whether a woman herself can say that as we're going to go on further in the Gemara to say that when a person is being called a mamzer or a nosin and whatever in the riot, and they don't say anything, do say that means there might be significance to that. So therefore, we're talking about the Issa herself. We're not talking about Monas Issa. We're talking about a girl herself, where she's being, where people are calling anything. Does that make that we have to assume that might be correct or not? And it continues. So the mayor says, Shamaiti, I heard that the definition of Amonas Issa or Issa, according to Tosfos, is Kol She'en Mikol Elu. And I heard that it means when you have a family where there's no part of any of these Zedos or Messinus or slaves, Masim Lakohuna, then they're Almonas, so able to marry Kohen. Now, it sounds the same, basically the same thing the mayor was arguing about. The Braisa continues. Reb Shimon laws the Oymer Meshum Reb Meir. V'chein hoy Reb Shimon Menasi Oymer Kedvarav. Reb Shimon laws says the name Reb Meir, and Reb Shimon Menasi said the same thing. Ezuya Amonas Issa. What is the definition of Amonas Issa? Which Rabbi Yeshua and going to Tosfos again, the Gius of Amona, Kol She Nitma Basaf. When you have those mixed into the family, a Suffolk Cholol. And the reason is, Reb Meir says, and this is the reason is, Reb Shimon Elazar and Reb Shimon Manasseh explain, Makirin Yisraelis Mamzerim Sheminehim, because Jews are familiar with the Mamzerim among them. So therefore, so if you have a Suffolk Mamzer, real Mamzer, then they would. But Jews are not necessarily familiar with the Chalolim among them, and people might be. So now the question is, Issa, is when there's a Sassi that a Sassi call, we'll deal with that soon. Tosfos, by the way, mentions names of Psule. We also had Amunim and Meobis. We know, as we learned over there, that Amuni Vloy Meobis, that the women, so till the third generation, so the Braisa didn't mention those because it would be too explain all those deals. The same kind of idea. So, what is the Braisa? So let's understand there's several points in the Braisa that need clarification. So we said, what's the definition of an almonas is a call sha'inba loy mishum mamzerus, loy mishum nesinus, loy mishum abdim? Possibility of there being mamzerim, nesinim, or slaves of kings mixed in among them. Now, what does that imply? Cholol kosher. So the implication is that if there is a cholol possibly mixed into the family, then his almonas. Question is, do you make a distinction between you? It's one thing if you're going to make a distinction between Daraisa and Darabanan. You want to stay with Darabanan, you're going to be Makel, fine. But that a Cholol's wife, that a Cholol's widow is not allowed to marry, that a Cholol's widow is not allowed to marry a Kohen is Daraisa. That a Mamzer's or a Nossin's or an Eved's widow is not allowed to marry a Kohen is also Daraisa. So what's the distinction? Why would we say that in one case we're worried about it and in the other case we're not worried about it? Now, according to the mayor, further on in the Braisa, we say, okay, Jews are able to distinguish the Mamzerim, but not the Chalolim necessarily, fine, but the Tanakhama is not mentioning any such thing. The two, and further, we have to understand in the Braisa, I heard that if there's none of these possibilities in the family, then his wife can marry, his widow can marry and the Tanakama. He seems to think that's the Tanakama. They're both saying that as long as there's no Safarim or Safar Nisim or Safak Avodim in there, as long as there's only Safak Chalolim, then she's good. They're both saying the same thing. The two, and then we have a third question on the Braisa. We said, we continued that Ezuri Almanas Issa Kol Shenitma Vas Safak Chalol. What is the definition of Almanas Issa is when there's a Safak Chalol mixed in, implying that. And then we say that she's kosher to marry a Kohen, implying, but not if there was a Suffolk Mamzer or Suffolk Nossin mixed in. But what do you mean? And Rav Meir continues, Makun Yisro Mamzerim Shabbanim, Ben Makun Chalolim Shabbanim, that Jews are familiar with the Mamzerim among them, and therefore there's no possibility really of a Suffolk Mamzer, but they're not as familiar with the Chalolim, and therefore there could be a Suffolk Chalol. The problem is, Ha'amit Resha Chalol Kosher. Didn't you just say before that if there's a Suffolk Chalol, then his Amona is Mutter? So implying, in other words, that a Suffolk Cholol would be possible. So there's three questions on the Braisa. So now let's explain the Braisa, and then we're going to understand, and then we'll have the answer to all our questions in one fell swoop. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mamzer Tzeveach Cholol Shoisek Ika B'Nayhu. The argument between the Tanakama and Rav Meir is if you have a person who people call him Mamzer, and he cries out and says, no, I'm not a Mamzer. But if they tell him he's cholol, then he's quiet. That would be the argument between the Tanakhama and Rav Meir. So the question is, when he is quiet, when they tell him you're a cholol and he doesn't say anything, is that because he's tacitly admitting that he's a cholol or not? Which, by the way, there's a Ravid on the Rambam brings these halachas in Hilchos Yisur Rebbia, and the Ravid points out maybe not necessarily nowadays. Nowadays, it may be a mila if a person is in the heat of an argument is being called a mamzer or a cholol and he doesn't say anything. That abba can show that he has good midas. So if we're talking not during an argument, then yeah, you could say if just out of the blue, somebody says to him, you're a mamzer, then yeah, we would expect him to protest. And if not, then it means there's a high likelihood that he is in fact a mamzer, but not necessarily nowadays when we say during an argument. So Rashi explains, in other words, that there's two things over here. Number one, we're talking again, like we said, about Almonas Issa. So the question is, we have a person who is a Suffolk Cholol, and the question is, with his widow, can she marry a Kohen? Number two, suppose you have a person, we didn't have a Suffolk until now about him, but now when they say to him he's a Cholol and he doesn't say anything, maybe he is indeed a Cholol. Which actually says that if it was whatever they tell him, he's quiet, then of course we're not going to say that means anything. But if he says something when they call him mamzer, but he doesn't say something when they call him cholol, then we have reason to be concerned that maybe he really is a cholol. So that's the nafkamina. So like this, the Tanakhama sober kol psul dekorelei v'shasik posel. So the Tanakhama holds any kind of psul that they would call him, and he doesn't say anything, then it means shesikah kaidah. It shows that it means that he's posel. And as Rashi said, As Rashi said, we only mean if there's one kind of psul that we call him and he says something, and then a different one that he doesn't. But if he doesn't say anything on any of them, on any of them at all, then yeah, we don't say anything. And like the Rebbe says, especially nowadays, people often don't have such good midas. So if a person is quiet about it, then the Rebbe shows that he has good midas, and he's not just answering anything. But so the Tanakhama would say that in such in certain cases when he's quiet, then that means there's a good possibility that he has that soul. But Hachikama Tanakhama. So the Tanakhama is saying as follows: Ezuri Amonas Issa. What is the definition of Amonas Issa? Kol she'en bo loish suk mamzerus. When her husband does not have the problem of being quiet when they call him a mamzer, none of the four, they call him a mamzer or nasin or abdimalachim or cholol, and you never have any problem when he's quiet. You always have that he protests and says, absolutely not, I'm not any of the above. V'ka'omer le Reb Meir. Now Reb Meir says to the Tanakhama, Hanach, who the kapasal labor call. You know what? Only when it comes to the three that are actually possible love a call. If a person says that somebody else is a mamzer, then he's saying you're not allowed to marry a Bas Yisrael. Same thing if he says you're a Nussin. Same thing if he says you're an Eben. So therefore, a person would never be quiet about such a laz. So therefore, if he is quiet, then shisika kaida. But as a matter of fact, if a person is called a cholo and he doesn't say anything, that doesn't show necessarily that he's a cholo. That shows he's not bothering to answer, because big deal. Even if he is a cholo, it doesn't prevent him from marrying a regular Bas Yisrael. All it means is if he does, then that woman later on, if he passes away, then she'll be possible to marry a kohen. Big deal. That's not reason enough for him to protest about it. Well, which the Gemara teaches out, the fact that he's being quiet when they call him a cholo is not because, in fact, Rameo would say, is not in fact because he is not, in fact, because he is a cholol. Mishum deleich baslei, because he doesn't care. So you call him a cholol, big deal. I'm still kosher. Love him a cholol. After all, in fact, he would not only be allowed to marry a bas yisrael. He'd be allowed to marry a bas koyin. A koyin's not allowed to marry a cholol, but a bas koyin can marry a cholol. So therefore, that's what the mayor says when he says shemaiti she'en ra echa nikol elu. He means the three that you Tanakhama mentioned explicitly. Mamzer, Nosin, and Eved, that I agree that if he is quiet by any of those, then it shows that he may be a apostle. But you implicitly included Cholol as well, and that I disagree about. And the Ka'omalei Reb Shimon Elazar L'Tanakhama, then Reb Shimon Elazar comes in the name of Reb Meir, and says to the Tanakhama, L'Tanakhama did a Meir, according to the Tanakhama, he's addressing the Tanakhama who argued with Reb Meir. And he says, "Ish mi'alach de machshir of Meir b'shisika." If you heard a report of what Reb Meir said, that Reb Meir would say that he remains kosher even though he was quiet about something, loy de korale chol b'shosik. It's not like you thought, not like the first understanding of Reb Meir that the case is where they call him a chol or doesn't say anything. Elo de korale mamzer b'shosik. No, in fact, Reb Shimon Elazar says even if they call him a mamzer and he doesn't say anything, he would still be kosher. Because hay de shosik, the fact that he's quiet, is sover mamzer kolisli. Because he figured, you know what? Obviously, I'm not a mamzer. If I was a mamzer, there would be a koil about it. So therefore, I don't even have to bother being moicha about it, because everybody will know that it's not true. Avo mamzer tzeveach. But if when they call him a mamzer, he cries out and protests and says, I'm not a mamzer. But cholol b'shosik. But Reb Shimon Elazar says, if when they call him a cholol, then he's quiet, posel. Then in fact, he would be posel. So the reason why, when they call him a cholol, we would say that he's not saying anything, is because sabra misayed lemapkile mekol. You know what? It's good enough. It's good enough. At least they're not taking me out of the kohol. They don't know my. So in other words, he might think to himself, you know what? Being called a cholol is the least worst thing they can call me. Conceivably, if I start protesting about it, they're going to start investigating, and they may find out that in fact I'm a mamzer, and then they're going to say I'm not even allowed to marry into the cholol. The Ritvah seems to explain like that. That means the Kal Yisrael. Rashi and Tosfos explains, and they explain that Rashi understands it this way as well. It means that they're taking me out from the call of Koyanim, as in they're saying that my Almona wouldn't be able to marry a Koyan. So he might be quiet when they call him a Cholol because he doesn't want them to actually continue investigating it, which they're more likely to if he speaks up.
So therefore, so we have three different opinions over here. We have now, we're saying, Tanakama is saying that if they call him any of the four and he's quiet, then it means he might be that. Reb Meir, the opinion, the first understanding of Reb Meir that we brought is that no, only if they call him a mamzer or a nosin or an eved, is he pretend, and he's quiet, is he potentially one of those? But if they call him a cholin, he doesn't say anything, then that's fine. It means that he's saying, I don't care, I'm as it is, you're not saying I'm possible to call. And Reb Shimon Elazar has a third understanding that Reb Meir would say that no, when they call him a mamzer or nosin or an eved, and he's quiet, then it means he's not any of the above, because he's saying he's quiet, because he's saying, why should I bother arguing against it? Obviously, everybody knows I'm not one of those. There would have been a koil otherwise. But on the contrary, if they call him a cholol and he's quiet, then he's possible, because then it means maybe that he's concerned that they may start checking into it and find that he really is a cholol. So three different opinions. The Tanakama says that if they say any of the four, Reb Meir, the first version of Reb Meir is only if they say that he's a cholol, and only if they say that he's a mamzer or nosin or eved, but then he's possible, but not if they say he's a cholol. And Reb Shimon Elazar says the other way around, only if they say that he's a cholol and he's quiet, then there's a problem. But if they say mamzer, nosin or eved and he doesn't say anything, then it's fine. Okay. So the Gemara says, Toni Chodo. Now let's consider. We have one Braisa that says, Rabbi Yossi Omer Shosuk Mamzer, Kosher, Shosuk Cholol Posel. We have one Braisa where Rabbi Yossi says that if a person who is quiet when they call him a Mamzer, then he remains Kosher, like the logic of Reb Shimon Elazar, because if they call him a mamzer and he's quiet, he may figure, I'm not going to say anything. Why should I bother? If everybody knows that if I really was a mamzer, there would be a curl about it. Ushsuk chol apostle, whereas if they call him a chol and he's quiet, then he's apostle, which again would be like Reb Shimon Elazar's starter. The Tanya idach suk chol apostle, kosher, suk mamzer apostle. And then another version is the other way around, that if they call him a chol and he's quiet, then he's kosher, which would be like the first version of Reb Meir, because he's going to say, why should I bother protesting? So you call me a chol, big deal. Even you're admitting that I'm still kosher, love it, b'kol, suk mamzer apostle. But if they call him a mamzer, then he's possible, because nobody would tolerate being called that. So what does Reb Yossi actually hold? And the answer is, like Tasha, ha Tanakama al libidid a mayor, ba Reb Shimon Elazar al libidid a mayor. They represent the two different versions of what Reb Meir holds. Again, the first version of Reb Meir was that if they call him a mamzer and he's quiet, then he's possible, because nobody would tolerate being called such a thing. And if they call him a cholol, then he's quiet, then it's not a problem, because he could tolerate being called that, knowing that it's not true. And the second version is Reb Shimon Elazar's version of Reb Meir, who says the other way around, that people know who the mamzerim are. There's a koil for it, but there's no koil for chololim. So he'd figure that if they call me a mamzer, big deal. Everybody knows that that's false. Otherwise, there would have been a koil. Whereas if they call me a cholol, then there is a real concern that people may start looking into it and find that I'm a cholol, and therefore he's going to be quiet. So the two versions of what Rabbi Yossi says represent also the two different versions of what Reb Meir would hold.